You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Over the weekend, a second round of No Kings protests took place across the United States, protesting the anti-democratic actions of the second Trump administration. The previous protests in June saw 5 million join in, and this round had 250 planned protests across all 50 states. Officials in New York estimated crowds of around 100,000 people. Concerns, however, remain around whether or not these protests will do something and whether or not they matter in the face of Trump's authoritarian leanings and actions of his administration. I spoke to Associate Professor of History at the University of Auckland, Jennifer Frost, about these protests and what they say about political attitudes towards Trump in the United States. To get us started, what sort of scenes were we seeing over the weekend?
Well, first, Alex, I'd like to just say the numbers are being estimated closer to 7 million people coming out to protest this weekend, and upwards to even 8.7 million estimates. It's very hard to get estimates on these. And yes, absolutely right. There were protests all around the country, but also all around the globe. So there were protests in multiple countries, from, you know, Germany to South Korea to the United Kingdom. So there really was a great showing this weekend. The other thing is there was an estimated at least 2,600 protests planned. So some states like Kentucky or Montana or Missouri, where these are red states and you don't expect protests, having multiple protests, not just in their, you know, blue Democratic-led cities. So I think the breadth and the depth of the protests were incredibly significant, and they're saying it's the second largest protest in U.S. history. I think the other thing is the participants just ranged all across the board, from young to old, to people of all different ethnicities and genders. And I think that breadth really, and that diversity was really important. I think the messaging also was just incredible. So one of the things in the lead up to this No Kings, so the first No Kings in June, the Republicans and Trump really didn't pay attention to what was happening. But for this one, they did an all-out communication war against the protests, saying that they were going to be violent, that they were going to be dominated by terrorists. And instead, these protests, which were planned to be nonviolent, were overwhelmingly nonviolent. No arrests made in cities like, you know, New York and Los Angeles. And in fact, police departments coming out and saying exactly that, you know, thank you for the nonviolent protest. So really proving the Republican leadership and Trump completely wrong. The other messaging they had was that people were being paid, and a lot of social media folks and media folks were out there asking people, you know, have you been paid? Have you been paid? And people saying, no, no. And, you know, one woman even said, you'd have to pay me not to protest. So I think that was really an important counter message to what the Trump regime has been saying.
Now, in terms of just like the core messaging of the No Kings protest, what exactly are they actually protesting about the Trump administration?
Yeah, good. I think this is where, and we've got to give credit to Indivisible, which is a nonprofit, nonviolent network of local groups in the United States, which got started after the first Trump victory in 2016. And so they really believe in decentralized protest. And I think this is really important. Obviously, the United States is a huge country, but by having so many different locally led protests, you know, it's much more challenging to the regime than if it was one sort of centrally led protest. So I think that was important. And then they've played with different rhetoric, but the no kings or messaging, the no kings has really taken off because it's such a simple message and plays into, you know, U.S. History and U.S. patriotism. You know, from our perspective here in Aotearoa, you know, New Zealand, it seems a bit cringy at times, but this kind of language is, you know, the United States is not a place of monarchs. It's a place of the people. You know, in the United States, the people have sovereignty, the authority and power to govern. That really plays with Americans. So one of the things in the, you know, the GOPers saying that these rallies and protests were going to be anti-American, the response was of the protesters, let's reclaim the messaging of American patriotism. So bring our flags, you know, say we the people, which is the first, which are the first three words in the U.S. Constitution. You know, we the people are here. And I think that messaging is just, it's very simple, but it's very powerful, and it resonates both with history and with the present, as Trump is frankly an authoritarian, and he and his supporters, both in the courts and really the Supreme Court, in Congress, and in his regime, have been just relentlessly breaking the law and breaking the Constitution. So it's a really important message.
And I mean, going back to both the overwhelming nonviolence and the positive sort of messaging of these protests, what role can we expect to see these parts of the protest play in whether or not this will do anything?
Yeah, I'm absolutely positive it not only will do something, it is doing something. So in the first instance, it's demonstrating that Trump is not popular. And we've got to remember that he did not win a majority of the vote, of the electorate. He won a plurality. In fact, more people didn't vote in the last 2024 election than voted for Trump. So I think always remembering that is very important. It looks like a landslide because of our electoral college, which, you know, kind of distorts the way in which it looks. And he won by, you know, a little bit over 1%. So it's reminding people that he is not popular, and the policies that they are pursuing are overwhelmingly not popular. And that does matter in the United States, even at this fragile moment for U.S. democracy. But I think the other really important point is that just by coming out and protesting, you are saying that you're not accepting this authoritarian regime. You're not going to bow down to what the regime is trying to do. And instead, also building solidarity with one another, demonstrating that, yes, in this day and age, you know, people still have agency, still have power. And in fact, one of the more, you know, kind of scary messages that was coming out is, you know, protest while you still have the right to do it. But, you know, here you have Americans happily using their constitutional rights to free speech, to assembly, to petitioning the government when they're not happy with it. And it is important to use these constitutional rights and show the value of them. The other thing is, it just was, you can see people are having fun. They are singing, they're dancing, they're carrying funny signs. One big theme that's happening and developing is these inflatable costumes. And it started in Portland against ICE and the deployment there of ICE, and it started with a Portland frog, and it's just taken off. And in all these places, you have these inflatables coming out, and it's whimsical, it's funny, but it also opposes and really brings into high relief the inhumanity, the ugliness, the hostility of the Trump regime and what they're doing through ICE, through their border patrol, et cetera. So, I mean, it's just creative, and it brings people together in a really positive way. And everything I'm seeing, and from, you know, my sister, for example, who participated in Santa Cruz, California, you know, it made people really happy to see how many of their fellow Americans agree with them in opposing this regime.
What can we expect to see going forward now from these protests?
Well, I think there will be more. So that's one thing for sure. There definitely will be more protests. The protests have definitely angered Trump because he's, you know, remarkably thin-skinned given how powerful he is. And that's always good to make him feel a little more insecure. But I think the other thing we need to realize is that these protests, and really from the beginning, have helped to embolden the political opposition among Democrats, but also among Republicans, too, against the Trump regime. So you're starting to see both the Democratic Party politicians standing up. You're also seeing Republicans, too, pushing back at some of these things. For example, the Trump regime, you know, killing fishermen, you know, off the coast of Venezuela and Colombia. So there's a bipartisan legislation right now in Congress saying that he can't do that. So it's emboldening the political opposition. It's actually emboldening the media because the media has been kind of bowing down to Trump in so many ways, not the alternative media, but the mainstream media. But just last week, the media who cover the Pentagon, the Defense Department, walked out because they refused to accept the restrictions on their access. And we're also seeing, of course, the lower courts push back, universities are pushing back, and we have elections coming up on November 4th. And so really important governor races in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, New Jersey and Virginia. In Pennsylvania, there's a court, really important Supreme Court race. So that's going to be, we're hoping that this also mobilizes Americans to vote, and Americans in Aotearoa can also vote from abroad. And I think that's really an important thing to do. So, and then we have Mamdani running for mayor in New York City. And so it's likely he will win, but that will be a really important victory. And one of the things that everybody's talking about, these protests are really important to demonstrate, you know, resistance and opposition to authoritarianism. But we also need to think about what are we working toward? And the kind of organizing that's happening in these communities, bottom up, bringing people together is also about possibility, you know, and how do we want to go forward? How do we want to envision our future? And that kind of work needs to happen on the local level. So with any luck, these protests are kind of the grounding of not just resistance and opposition, but of possibility and moving forward into the future.
That was Associate Professor of History at the University of Auckland, Jennifer Frost, on the No Kings protests in the US over the weekend and why they matter.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.